Welcome to the Nature to Soul podcast, inspiring you to reconnect to Mother Nature and to your higher self. May you be empowered. Oh, hello, everyone. I hope you're well. It's been a while since I recorded a podcast, but, now is the time. And I wanted to talk a bit about something that's dear to my heart, yoga. So there's quite a few things that I wanted to talk about here. I wanted to go into my own journey with yoga and how it's helped me. And I wanted to also talk a fair bit about what I'm seeing out there in terms of yoga at the moment. That's a little concerning. And also why you should join and practice yoga. So, let's get into my journey with yoga. So I wasn't so much drawn to it until I went to Vietnam, strangely enough. So I went, to Vietnam in 2011. And I volunteered there teaching for English and helping to build homes and things like that. And I really wanted to find yoga, and I couldn't really find it there, unfortunately, in the town that I was in. And then I discovered it on the Gold Coast. When I came back, I went to the Australian School of Yoga and Meditation. And I tried my first class and absolutely loved it. I was like, whoa, what is this? it wasn't so much the postures and the asanas that I was doing. I was kind of like, oh, yeah. But then at the end of it, after Shavasana and that feeling that I had, I was like, whoa, all right. I like this. And so I kept going back, and was mainly to get that feeling, that centered feeling of feeling home afterwards, you know? And so I just started becoming obsessed, and I started going to yoga for everything. All sorts of different classes. I went to Kirtan regularly as well. And so Kirtan was my first introduction to sound healing. I would go to these beautiful Kirtan on a Sunday night at the Burley Community Center. And there would be dinner and whatnot there as well, and connecting with community and just the dancing and singing and the clapping and the feeling that you'd get afterwards was absolutely incredible. And I remember going through a little bit of a difficult time, and one of the first kirtans I ever went to, oh, I just wanted to cry because we were singing Hare Krishna, the mantra, and I just connected with it so deeply on a soul level. Anyway, I kept going. I kept going to yoga and yoga retreats and all of those things. Around the same time, I ended up meeting someone who wasn't really good for me. And I had a series of events happen. You know, I was trying to do my PhD, and I didn't get the result that I wanted because of one professor. The other ones that graded my paper loved it, but this one, he just picked out every little thing. And so I didn't get the desired result I needed to continue on for a PhD. And I ended up with, I was kind of really unhappy. And I ended up with this partner who later I realized was not good for me, very toxic. And then shortly after that, about a year and a half or so later, I ended up getting really sick. Now, I didn't know what it was from. It was all of 2013 into 2014. I just progressively got sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. I went to Perth and with that partner, and we got bogged in the sand, and he used some bush from as traction for the tires. And well, there was ticks in those, and he told me to stay away, and I said no, and I helped him, and I woke up the next morning, I had two ticks on my groin. Didn't think anything of it. No such thing as Lyme in Australia, blah blah blah. And he used tea tree oil to kill them, which later on I found out all of this is a very bad idea. But anyway, and then I went to Peru, and I had a 30-hour flight leaving from Brisbane to LA, LA to New York to drop off my luggage with my family because I was staying there for Christmas, then flying from New York to Peru, you know, and then the climate and acclimatizing to the altitude. And I had trained heavily for this, and during that trek, I did not feel prepared. So I ended up having to hire a Sherpas as well. I didn't plan on it, but then I needed to. And then I went home for Christmas, and by the time I came back in January, I ended up being sick with the flu for like really bad and really horrible, highest fever I ever had. And I was just sick on and off like that for a whole year with crazy migraines that I never got before, and joint pain and fibromyalgia type symptoms and terrible periods, and had to get a surgery to see if I had endometriosis. And I was always in the hospital with people scratching their heads, wondering if, you know, I was like a science experiment in the hospital. And I tried to go to yoga, and I couldn't. I could not do yoga. And I remember one day an old man came up to me, who was also in the class, and said, "Hey, maybe you do a little bit better with Tai Chi." And I was just like, oh man. Like, and I went from running marathons as well, and I couldn't do that anymore either. So it was a really rough time, and thank God a miracle had happened maybe a year and a half later, where I ran into a friend who said, "Oh, I don't see you running anymore. I don't see you at yoga." And they introduced me to this friend of theirs who worked with energy medicine, and he ended up changing my life. Him and a naturopath who taught me the importance of holistic health and holistic healing, and that healing is a long road, but worth it. And also, I went to see a chakra healer too. Big shout out to her, who taught me that the connection between Lyme and that terrible abusive relationship that I was in. And I learned a bit more about chakras and things as well. So over time, thanks to many other people who joined on my journey, I was able to go swimming and then build up my strength to get back into yoga slowly as well. And yoga became a main aspect of my healing. It became everything for my joints, to build up muscle again, to calm my nervous system, to it was a pivotal part of my journey. And again, reaching that beautiful feeling, that centeredness, that feeling of home, etc. And so I stuck by yoga religiously, and I had to move to Sydney to start working in corporate for visas and things like that. And I remember just racing to make the 7 p.m. class after work. Sometimes the trains would be delayed or whatever, but I was going to those classes like 4 or 5 times a week. I was going so often because if I missed it, I could tell the difference in my body and in my mind. And working in corporate when you're trying to heal is not an easy thing. I'll do another episode about that some other time. But I was going to yoga for years. And then finally, in I always kind of held myself back from doing the teacher training because of A, the cost, and B, the fact that I was not flexible, and I've never been flexible. But then I had an amazing, incredible teacher, and eventually, and who made me realize like this didn't matter. And eventually, I decided, okay, I'm going to study. So that was in 2019, I believe, during the bushfires. So I started to do my teacher training part time on the weekend with an amazing group of souls. And that training changed my life because it wasn't just yoga, it was this incredible personal development. Big shout out to Janine Lee, who I did my training with. She's just like otherworldly and just amazing. And the people that I did my training with too, it was a nice intimate group, and we got really close because we were spending so much time together and sharing things from the depths of our souls. And so we went beyond, just learning about the physical. Like, of course, the physical was fascinating and the anatomy of the body, et cetera. But it was also, connecting on a deeper level in the yogic philosophy, which I just find absolutely amazing. And at the time, it was on the suggested reading list. I didn't read Autobiography of a Yogi. I did read it later. Around 2021, something like that, which I felt ready to read it. And I felt at that point that I could relate to it a bit more and believe it a bit more. So if you haven't read that book, I highly recommend it, but also read it when you're ready. Teacher training was life-changing. It was beautiful. It was raw. It was emotional. It was healing. It was all of the above. And then somehow after that, it took me a while to complete my essays. And it's funny because I have spoken to many people who've done their teacher training, and the thing that held them back the most from becoming a teacher was completing their essays, which was really interesting, if you think about that. But anyway, I wasn't able to really teach anywhere on the books anyway because I was still sponsored as an employee by my employers, and I wasn't allowed to work for anyone else. So that was a bit frustrating. And so anyway, then the whole COVID thing happened, and then studios were shutting down and things were becoming online, and it was just crazy. And eventually, once things started to open up again, and there was less restrictions, then I was able to start teaching outside at the beach with my friend. And so I was teaching a couple of days a week there, and I was bringing my crystal singing bowls too, which will be a whole other podcast. And really starting to get that solid experience. I had many people who showed up regularly and still come to those classes, and just got a lot of benefit out of it. And then eventually, another lockdown happened, which was very frustrating. And the weather was terrible as well. So that was a challenge. And then I finally was able to start getting some teaching roles at studios, which I absolutely loved, and I loved building up community and whatnot as well. And really, my style of teaching has become about vinyasa flow, and I also teach yin yoga, but I also weave the philosophy in all of my classes and breath and a little bit of shamanism as well. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit. But I really try and stay true to that yogic philosophy. And in my classes, we go in deep with that and we have more of a flow. But it's important to remember that I don't care if you're flexible or not. The number one thing that I've heard from students who have come to my classes for the first time have told me in the beginning, oh, I'm not flexible. I might be really bad. I don't have balance. To me, it's not about that. Yoga is beyond the asanas, beyond the postures, beyond the balancing. Of course, that stuff is important and it comes over time, but the real yoga, it's just showing up on your mat, showing up, breathing, just being present with yourself on your mat, with your experience. That is real yoga. Anyone can do yoga. As long as you have your breath, as long as you can breathe, you can do yoga. So I think this is really important, which brings me to my concerns that I have around what's happened to yoga. So, you know, of course, when you bring something into the West, it's going to get a little bit altered, modernized, and all of that stuff, right? So it was amazing, you know, seeing so many people engaging with yoga and the popularity of yoga as well. But now it's become, when students come to you and they say, I'm not flexible, or they don't want to join a yoga class because they think that they have to fit themselves into a tiny pair of Lululemon booty shorts and expected to do splits and handstands because that's what they've seen on Instagram, that's a problem. And unfortunately, sex sells, right? Sex sells. And social media distorts reality, right? I'm going to say that again. Social media distorts reality. And so, you know, it's great that so many people have been interested in joining yoga, et cetera, and, interested in it. But unfortunately, the only photos that we see on Instagram and social media are people pushing themselves into ridiculous shapes. You know, and also just having their boobs hang out, they're like posing in ways where it can accentuate their boobs and their butt, and wearing like nothing. And it's not to sound like a big prude, but you know, if you want to celebrate your body, that's great. That's great. But unfortunately, a lot of people are using their bodies to sell their classes, to get people into their classes, to sell their courses, to do whatever, right? And it's taking away from what yoga actually is. Yoga is coming home to yourself, right? It's getting out of the mind and, you know, it's getting into the body, but it's coming back into your spirit, right? It's getting back into the core of who you are, of finding your home, finding your center, finding your balance. And it's teaching you how to show up in the world as a good human, as a good soul. You know, it's not about, okay, how can I twist myself into this unimaginable shape? You know, how can I make myself look like that Instagram model with, you know, wearing practically nothing? And, you know, nowadays too, we have goat yoga, puppy yoga, we have beer yoga. I mean, there's yoga wine retreats. If you know the core essence of yoga, if you know the spiritual text behind it, you know that this is all wrong. Okay. And my dream is for everyone to experience yoga. I want everyone to get on that mat and to have that incredible feeling of coming home, right? I want everyone to have that. And if that's what it takes to get you on the mat, then I guess that's okay. But unfortunately, that is also preventing a lot of people who need yoga from getting on to their mat. Right? And I'm just seeing this increasingly in the wellness industry. I'm just seeing increasingly people selling based on wearing nothing, based on really their like fakeness, right? Being fake. And we're living in a time where we're being asked to be more authentic and be our true selves. And I'm seeing more and more turn away from that and go the opposite direction. And it's concerning. And it's sad to see, especially as we're living in a time now where we have AI, we don't know what's real anymore. We don't know, you know, and we need to use more discernment. And that's something that yoga also teaches us. It teaches us awareness and it teaches us discernment. But a lot of us are moving away from the teachings of what yoga actually really is. And honestly, I feel like that's why there's more of a trend now for people to move into Pilates, right? Pilates is very popular at the moment. And I feel like more people don't necessarily want to connect with something greater and something higher. So they're turning, they just want that image. They're concerned with the image. And so they're turning towards other modalities. And, you know, there's always the ebbs and flows with these things all the time. You know, if it's just the trend of things. But it's very frustrating to see yoga be misused and, yeah, and other people miss out because they might not feel like they can be confident enough to practice it, right? So I guess my message of this is just use discernment, be mindful, and really just give it a go. Give coming to class a go and try and seek out those teachers that are weaving the philosophy in, that are weaving the pranayama, the breath work in, that are talking about the chakras, that are you know, teaching yoga like what yoga actually is, right? So yeah, that's what I have to say on that. And I really hope that those who are on the fence or have taken a break from yoga will come back, you know. And also I invite you to try out different teachers, right? We all have a favorite teacher and we all resonate with a different style. Just because one class doesn't resonate with you doesn't mean that the next class won't, right? So you want to try out different teachers, different class styles, etc., until you find what works best for you. But I highly recommend reading Autobiography of a Yogi, about Yogananda and his experience. And I really recommend coming to some classes and even joining kirtan and things like that. And really just being present on the mat. You know, a lot of the movies show us, you know, people coming on to going to yoga and chit-chatting on the side and gossiping and things like that. No, that's not what real yoga is, right? So, you've got to respect it. These are ancient modalities, right? This is an ancient modality that's been around for thousands of years. And it was brought to the West because there was a need for it in the West. And what we're doing to it is a little bit concerning, right? So we need to respect this modality. Yeah, so that's all I have to say there. Trying to think if I have any other things that I wanted to talk about. But yeah, essentially, yoga changed my life. It's a huge part of who I am. It's led me to other things as well, sound healing and breath work and et cetera. But at the end of the day, they all relate to the same thing, and they're all taking us back home, right? Allowing us to connect with our soul or spirit, come back to us, and also taking care of our body as well. But there's so many layers to yoga. There's so many layers to it, and it's a process. It's a process. So yeah. So yoga's helped me immensely in my life, and I really love sharing it with all of you. And I really hope that you'll join me someday in class. And give it a go yourself, and give it a proper go, right? Healing and trying something new and all those things, they require to go a few times, right? So don't just go one time and dismiss it or think you're good. Like, just give it a proper go and see how you go. But really seek out those teachers that are true to themselves, that are authentic, and they're staying true to what yoga actually is as well. I highly recommend that because we are living in this time period right now where we are being called to become more authentic, more authentically ourselves, and anything that is not authentic will fall away, right? So, yoga is a great way to discover yourself, to, discover who you are and be true to yourself. And yeah, so I really hope that we respect that. And yeah, that's all I have to say right now. So namaste, and I'll talk to you soon with next episodes. I just wanted to talk a little bit about also just some housekeeping. So I've got my True Nature retreat coming up at the end of September in Bermagui on the New South Wales South Coast. There's going to be vinyasa. There will be yin yoga as well. There's going to be breath work and sound baths. And I use sound at the end of Shavasana in meditation as well. So there's going to be heaps of sound. We're going to be staying on this beautiful, beautiful property that's so quiet. You can hear a pin drop. It's on the lake. Beautiful lake views. Right across the road is the secluded beach. So the ocean's right there as well. And it's in a bush-like setting. It's got this magical energy from the South Coast. And yeah, I really hope you'll join us. And again, I want you to remember there is no judgment from me at all ever. So I welcome all styles, all abilities, all levels into my classes, my workshops, my retreats, because everyone has to start somewhere, right? And yeah. And also join me for my Rainbow Sounds workshops and the Blue Mountains on the 31st of May. And then I've also got one on the South Coast on June 14th as well. And yeah, I hope to see you on the mat sometime, even if you're just practicing at home. Just get on the mat and just allow yourself to breathe, come back home, center, listen to your body, have that awareness. Honor your experience, and you are doing yoga, my friend. Real, real yoga. All right. Lots of love. Talk to you soon.